Hi, and welcome to our first podcast, Innovate and Elevate, the FSD podcast. I am your co-host, Pablo Diaz, Director of Innovation and Instructional Support here in the Fullerton School District.
And I am your other co-host, Amber Munoz. I'm a public information officer here in FSD. And we are so excited to have on our first episode of this new rebooted podcast for our district, our very own superintendent, Dr. Bob Pletka. What's great is I'm kind of new here, so I'm learning so much about the district, and it's great to be able to have Dr. Pletka join us. Dr. Pletka, let's go ahead and just kick it off. What inspired you to pursue a career in education and eventually become a superintendent?
Sure. I think one of the things growing up that I heard from my own mother again and again is that through education, you can break cycles of poverty. And that it's the one way out for students and families that are struggling to be able to make ends meet. And I think one of the things she talked about was her own story. And her story is that she was one of the first in her family to get a college degree, to get a master's degree. And she's one of the first to actually have a high school diploma in her family as well. And her family, her mother came from the Appalachian Mountains and with seven other siblings and literally walked to school without shoes. Her mother and the family often had to mix sawdust in with to make a pancake to provide some sustenance. And it was somebody, it was her Uncle Harold who believed in her and said that she could break the cycle of poverty, and she could get out by getting a college degree. And she went on to do that and got her master's in counseling to help other families. But through it all, she kept saying, it's a way out. And she said, somebody was there for me, your Uncle Harold, that helped me and helped our family because somebody believed in her. And I want to do that and do that for others. And I want to do that for our children. And I want to do that for other families.
That's pretty powerful, you know, because you often hear the saying knowledge is power, and you kind of see it in that story there. Because so doing something like that is super amazing, to be able to gain information and gather information and be able to utilize that information for your future benefit
and impact your future and future generations, but based on your own kind of passions and interests. And hers, it was about trying to make a difference in her own family. And there was some dysfunction in the family that she grew up, and she wanted to help other families. And so by getting that education, she was able to pay that forward. And again, something that's inspired me.
That's inspiring me right now. Well, that's pretty impressive. Just even to think of the fact that there was no sustenance and she was able to provide that in her family and just really advance her trajectory, which then has helped advance your trajectory.
Yeah. And I believe in it. It's all the way. I mean, as I remember in fourth grade, I remember the kids were all talking about going to college, and several of them said, well, we don't have the money. And I remember we grew up a lower middle class family and really didn't know whether we would have the money for me to go. And I went home that day and I said, you know, we were talking about whether we were going to do, whether I could go to college. And she said at that moment, no matter what, you're going to go to college, and we're going to make it and find a way to make it happen.
That's super. So I've been in this district for about 19 years. And since I've been here, there's been a long line of innovative leaders, people that have just done things to push things forward and just find new ways to educate students and support teachers. In that area, what role does innovation play in your leadership, and can you give examples of innovative initiatives you've supported in this very district?
Sure. I think sometimes people want to put innovation actually in a box and define it as either like technology, or it's computers, or it's something that's simply that's new. An innovation is really, it's an approach to leadership around this idea that there are problems. There are needs, families have problems, school districts have problems, communities have problems, and current systems aren't able to meet those needs. And services, current services, aren't able to meet those needs and be able to solve those problems. And so the idea of innovation is this idea that we're going to look at problems, we're going to look at needs, and when current systems aren't able to provide and meet those needs, we're going to find other ways to do that. And the way we do that is to approach and go to our team. Our team, we have a culture of innovative leaders. And when we come together and collaborate and be able to come up with new ideas, and there's a certain playfulness in that generating of ideas. And from those ideas, then it's the ideas then to create and implement systems and build something that is sustainable. But it comes from the spirit of working together and openness with the idea that the current systems, the current practices are not sufficient to solve the problem. And so it's this belief that we can do it and we can do it together.
Are there any examples that you have that you've been part of or
Yeah,
led?
I'm very fortunate. And Pablo, I'm going to give you a shout out to you and your team. But one of the things that we're facing and some of our families post-pandemic is that we have families that are truly homeless. We have families that are living in their cars. We have families that are in some cases 15 people in a single room sleeping on a slice of the floor partitioned out to them. We have families that are living in office buildings in some cases. And so this idea of what can we do to support? And Pablo, I think, you know, you and your team bring a whole spirit of innovation, and you really looked at, well, what could we do? We're not, in addition to being able to provide for a family in need that's particularly homeless, our goal also is to help empower our own students to be the problem solvers, to be the innovators of the future. And so what better way than the idea that you came up, which was to bring a group of middle school kids, junior high kids at Nicholas in a woodshop class, elevate that woodshop class, have them partner and mentor with other contractors or in construction to help them build a tiny home. And that tiny home eventually was a place that served one of our families who was literally living on the street.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for the kudos. But obviously, it couldn't have been done without the vision and the leadership that you provide for us and the support.
Thanks,
and
Pablo.
It's been quite a journey. It's been really spectacular. And I'm excited for year two and year three as we kind of move some more families in there and help more people.
And it's interesting, in particular, the tiny home, when you have a spirit and a culture of innovation and you begin to attract other innovators, other people that are willing to embrace and address a problem. And suddenly people from the entire community came out to say, how can we be part of something? How can we change the system? How can we even potentially look at laws that need to be changed? How can we look at different funding models to make the changes? And suddenly we went from I remember a meeting with you where you were leading the way, and I think we had maybe 8 or 9 people there, and that was the start. And at the end, we had 30 or 40 different partners all working together, all wanting to innovate, all because they believed in the vision that you brought forward and because you had a team that was so innovative.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. And honestly, what was really unique for me to watch is I came in at the tail end of FSD's first ever tiny home project, and I got to be at the ribbon cutting and see sort of the culmination of all the work. But through that, I got to learn the story and hear the story and just talk about thinking outside of the box and really bringing a community project that is going to allow our students to just leave inspired at the possibilities of what they're capable of and what they can inspire others to be capable of when everyone just starts to think about how they can use their powers for the greater good. So,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no,
it was great. And we appreciate you being part of the team and I think helped to get that message out. And again, this idea of innovation and attracting other partners to this. So thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. It was great. And it's been great to be here and to be able to witness it all and now to be a part of it. So speaking to, you know, we've talked about some of the diverse needs of our socioeconomic climate here in Fullerton. How about meeting the diverse needs of our student populations? And
sure.
Speak more to that.
I think sometimes when we think of diverse populations and we make certain, we have certain biases, certain assumptions that, you know, because maybe somebody comes from poverty or somebody comes from, in some cases, another country and they're new to this country. And sometimes we look at it from this kind of deficit mindset instead of looking at all the assets and strengths that families bring, whether that's a second language or potentially resiliency in dealing with the system. And so in terms of being able to address it, it's not, I think people narrowly define what that should be. And maybe they say, well, that should be just maybe reading intervention. And yes, that is a part of meeting diverse needs and students that come from diverse backgrounds, including students with low socioeconomic backgrounds as well. But I think what we need to see is, well, what's the potential? What is the possibility? And so we've leaned into this idea of a dual language academy. And so we've started, we have the two, one at Raymond in Spanish, and we have one in Pack Drive. But we also have a significant Korean population here. And it's so great to start our first Korean DLA at Laguna Road. And that will be moving potentially into Parks as it moves into it. And so, again, this idea that that language can be an asset and a strength and that can enrich us all. I think also we look at, sometimes we want to define it as, again, this deficit. Maybe they're not at, somebody's not at grade level because, again, maybe they just came from another country and maybe they don't know the language. But how about this idea that students can achieve at high levels? And so we've had pathways in the areas of technology and coding. We've seen students achieve at significant levels. I'm proud to say that that we have students with diverse backgrounds that have won the App Challenge, which is a regional challenge from Congress that was set up. And we've had students come in and benefit. And then the other thing, when we talk about diverse backgrounds, let's talk about all the potential. And so we are very proud. We're one of the few elementary school districts where we offer AP English and AP Computer Science, and kids pass at the same rate as neighboring high school districts at the junior high level, and they earn college credit for it. What about the middle college years? The last I had checked, we are only one of two junior highs in the entire state of California that offers dual enrollment and allow students to earn college credit at our neighboring junior college, Fullerton College. And so when we talk about diverse needs, yes, and that includes kids that in cases do need additional help, whether it's with language acquisition or with potentially additional support in either reading or writing. But that would really limit what we're seeing, because kids, we have seen kids with diverse backgrounds achieve so much more. And again, place, whether it's AP on AP assessments, or whether it's in middle college years, or whether it's just to place nationally, cybersecurity, we have placed nationally, speech and debate. And we were national winners this last year, again, for the fifth time. And so this is with our diverse student population. The successes are coming with our diverse student population, with the assets and strengths that they bring. And we're very proud of that. And I'm very proud of them. And I'm very proud of this district.
That's super. So with diverse students come diverse families. What would you, or what advice do you have for parents that might want to be a little bit more involved in their students' education and perhaps don't know where to begin?
I think it's always a good start to begin with just the conversation and just to ask kids, ask your child, ask your sons or daughters, how are they feeling? How are things going at school? Ask them about their friends. Ask the things that they're interested in. And I think sometimes we want to, I know as a parent, I have six kids and, you know, I worried about them and I wanted to make sure that they were doing well. And sometimes I wanted to push them in a certain direction. And in doing so, sometimes it would shut down the conversation. And so sometimes reminding myself I needed to start back to ask them what they were interested in, what are the things they're passionate about, and what are the things that motivate them. And then from those conversations to ask, that leads into other conversations about school and how things are going. But kids usually don't want to start off with what the problem is. They bring such great successes and they want to share that with their family. So my recommendation with parents is start out with what your children are interested in. What are they passionate about? What are their friends interested in? Start at that point. And then that can lead into other conversations.
Yeah, I like that. I think sometimes it's easier said than done after, you know, having two of my own and see their journey, and it's still evolving. But I wish I could go back and do it over again and get some of that advice and kind of just lean into what they're interested in and just solve problems that way. But there's not one roadmap to this or one game plan and how to do it right. But yeah, it's just having a support system. And I think FSD does a good job of that.
The other thing, there is some research that can guide, I think, parents and families. And they talked about, and they looked at research related to children that were successful as it related to some of the actions that parents made. And so there were two things that came up in the research. One is parents that had high expectations, that did expect a lot from their children. But it was also connected to parents that were willing to support their children in that. And support came from a variety of ways, whether that was additional help or whether that was meeting with the teacher, whether it was providing other sorts of opportunities and networks and connections. So it really is this kind of dual prong approach, which is, yes, high expectations for our kids. They can do so much. Sometimes we underestimate our kids. They can do all kinds of things. And again, we've seen that when kids win national speech and debate competitions, kids that place in the nation for cybersecurity, kids that pass AP English and AP computer science classes, they can do so much. But it's not enough to have high expectations. It is about the support we provide them. And we can't support them unless we know what they need. And we won't know what they need in some cases until they open up to us, until we have those deep, rich conversations that we need to have with our kids.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And I think what I've learned here about FSD is there are just so many pathways to facilitate that conversation too. So let's say if you're a parent and maybe as your child gets older and it's just tougher to talk to them because of, you know, hormones or whatever the case may be, we have a lot of resources at the school sites and at the district level. So counselors to talk to, programs to just educate yourself on how to have these conversations and how to foster that support and relationship with your child, that then you can use that information to say, oh, okay, well, my child's super interested in sports. Let me go volunteer at sports and pursue that with them.
Yeah. No, I think that being part of your child's education is can be very powerful for your child's future and for that child to be able to access other networks and other resources. And so I think a child who feels that support from their parents, in most cases, they're even more motivated.
Absolutely. Well, so we've spent a little time talking about great things that are happening in FSD. And just on a personal note for you, Dr. Pletka, as we're just learning more about you in this podcast and, you know, picking your brain about education in general, you know, if you could, when you think about big picture, if you could change one thing about the education system as a whole, what would that be and why? Now, that's a big question, so you could take a minute, but.
I still think education is too much about applying a set of curriculum and systems and processes across to all students, as opposed to a system that teases out kids' interests and their passions and their strengths. And some people have heard me say this before, but I truly, truly believe this. I believe that each child, and actually each one of us, we bring something that is completely unique and special. So much so that I believe that no one else in the world has ever provided or brought the strength or asset or gift before, and no one ever will. that each child, each person has something unique to give to this world. And so it is our job in education to find out what that is. And in some cases, to help the child discover that. In some ways, maybe they don't even know what that gift or that talent is. It's part of what education's job is to help children see that so that they can then believe in themselves and believe in the gift that they have that can transform and change the world. And so education sometimes is more about putting upon kids a set of either expectations or learning or education that doesn't take into account the gift, the talents that child brings. And I would love to see us move more in the future in education about trying to individualize that for each kid and individualize an education that really values that strength and that talent that that child brings.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. There's nothing better than being in the classroom and getting to know your students really well, like knowing, you know, not just when their birthdays are coming up or what their favorite color is, but, oh, that at least ask them that if you know they play baseball or they're in ballet, how did that performance go this past weekend? Get to know them and let them just enjoy the things that they did, that they enjoy doing when they're not in school. Because oftentimes, if you ask a student what's their favorite part of school, more often than not, it's going to be lunchtime, it's going to be recess. It's not even part of the curriculum per se. And so what's the magic about that? It's about people. It's about students talking to students, students talking to their favorite, adult on campus or what have you. But it's super important to take all of that into this educational system that we have. And how do we just tweak it little by little over time? And I think that's a sense all we're asking, just, you know, as educators, I believe that we change the system little by little. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know what the magic bullet is, because I definitely agree with what you're saying. But there's always going to be questions. So, well, how do I go about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so...
Right. And how can we look at innovating our current educational system to do that and to bring that out? And if there's time, I was going to share one final story. My one son, I have six, four daughters, two sons, and all different. In fact, I'm very proud of my one daughter, Claire. She just got her doctorate degree, and children with masters and college educated. And my one son went to his first semester to school, and it wasn't his thing. And I remember growing up, he had a certain actually love for dogs and love for animals. And he said, you know, I kind of want to pursue that. And, you know, as a father, you think, well, how are you going to make a living off of that? Loving dogs, caring about pets? And that's kind of what's the inside thought bubble. But what I said is, I think you need to pursue your passion and your interest. And so he talked that he had a mentor and somebody that was an expert in this field that would support him. And he went on and he works with high-end security dogs. He does board and train. He's turned it into a highly successful and effective business and has a couple locations now. And he's grown that. And in the beginning, he used to come up to me and he said, what do you think, Dad? Should I quit this? And should I go back to college? And I don't know, I think he was looking for maybe my approval on that. And he said, you know, I could go back and become a teacher. And I said, that's not your dream.
Yeah, no, that's...
So I said, follow your dream. Yeah, and yeah. I said, and this is your dream. And he's turned it into something really special. And I'm really proud of him.
That's super powerful. I bow down. I'm sitting here doing the bow down hands to entrepreneurs. Because there's something about that entrepreneurial spirit that I have a little bit of me in me, but I'm sometimes scared to take the leap 100%. I love what I do, but at the same time, there's just these things outside that I want to tap into.
It takes a lot of courage.
It does. It does. That's awesome. That's a great story.
That's great. Thank you.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think so important to strive to developing minds that, you know, the sky's the limit of what you're passionate about. and the importance of pursuing that. Because I know when I was a kid, I fell into that trap of what are those major careers that sound sparkly? And then I just set my sight on that. So I thought, oh, you know, fourth grade Amber wanted to be a lawyer. And what did adult Amber pursue? Law. Is Amber now a lawyer? No. And I'm so grateful that I'm not, because I wanted to find a career that I was super passionate about. And what I think is, you know, for us in education, we have this unique position to be able to help families, help students have these conversations so that we can set up the future generation of leaders in so many industries for success by just helping them find what success looks like for them.
So let's talk about the future. What are some exciting initiatives or things that are going on within the school district that you're involved with that you're excited about right now?
Well, one I'm excited about. So I think sometimes when we think of innovation, we think that something has to be, the innovation needs to be something that all kids or everybody will want. And what I've actually found is if we really are about the individual child and about that, about their individual strengths, what we're going to see is innovation that connect with kids that have different interests. And so one of them that I'm really excited about is the Battle of the Bands. And so we are working with the Korean Education Center and the K-pop Center. And so students at junior high will be mentored by professional dancers and singers. They'll audition, they'll form bands, and then they will go ahead and compete. We've had some early interest. We'll see where it leads. But right now we've had a couple record labels reach out to us, and they want to be part of the judging and scouting out some of the talent that's coming. We have heard different businesses reach out and say that they might want to provide scholarships to our students to be able to reach and get that expert access to professional dancers and singers to help them. And I think the other piece is we're connecting it to the Korean Education Center about the Korean culture and the value that they're bringing. So it's not just pop culture, but it's also the great history and the rich history that our that Korean Americans bring to not only to this country, but specifically to our community. And so this is very exciting and something that we're looking forward to. And that's something that's kind of that should be happening here as we speak.
Yeah, and I just want to add to that. I had the pleasure of being at some of those assemblies when this K-pop Battle of the Bands was announced to our 7th and 8th graders. And my goodness, the energy and how much these students lit up just to imagine themselves up there, just to see what that could look like for them was really special. And I'm so glad that we're offering this opportunity because I think it's going to be really memorable and maybe life-changing for many.
Yeah. And so it's an opportunity. And again, it's an opportunity to value culture again. And it's a chance for kids to connect and be mentored and guided. And whether they end up going and becoming singers or dancers, the experience of being mentored by professionals and setting goals and working towards that goal, that has tremendous value. And then we love the arts here. Love the arts. And so, you know, this is one more example of allowing kids to be creative and to really express themselves in creative ways.
Super. Well, on behalf of myself and Amber, we'd like to thank you, Dr. Pletka, for joining us today and being our first guest on our podcast, Innovate and Elevate podcast.
Thank you. This was fun. I really enjoyed it. I appreciate it.
Super. Thank you. Until next time.